Going to take a little bit of a side note from our series that we've been doing on Wednesday nights on Does God Have Three Wills? And I'm going to be looking at a verse that I shared with you last week. And I want to emphasize something that I just touched on. And I want to kind of bring it out because there is so much that we need to take away from the questions that Job had about why God had allowed all of these terrible things to happen in his life, and him wanting to understand, and then the understanding that he received as a result of all the things that he went through. God had a purpose, and that purpose was not to judge him for any sin or chastise him for any sin, but to bring about a greater relationship between Job and God. I read this verse in Job 42 and verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I want to read from David Stern's translation. He was a Hebrew scholar. He died many years ago. And I want to read beginning at verse 1 through that verse 5 that we have there from his translation. Then Job gave Adonai this answer. I know that you can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that darkeneth counsel without having knowledge? Yes, now get this, I spoke without understanding. Now in Job 38, we read where God says, who is this that darkeneth counsel without knowledge and understanding? And of course, he was making reference to the last of the four men. But Job takes this to heart. And he said, it's not just the four friends that missed the mark. I missed the mark. Job learned something about himself. Yes, he eschewed evil. Yes, he loved God. Yes, he reared his children to honor God. Yes, he did that which was right. But there was still one aspect of his life that had not been developed, and this is where we need to focus our hearts. He did all the right things that you're supposed to do. He did love God. He loved God and eschewed evil. But there was a missing relationship that was brought out by all of these things that happened that are recorded in the book of Job. And Job knows what it is. He said, I heard all about you, Lord. But now I what? I see. Listen to this translation of verse 5. I heard about you with my ears, but now my eye sees you. And the Hebrew word that's used there for eye seeing is the idea of this gazing at God and understanding His greatness and His goodness, and that I don't understand things that he understands. I don't know things that he knows, but I'm going to trust him implicitly. That comes with a relationship that has to be cultured and developed, not simply hearing the Word of God. Remember that verse, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now that's important. That's how our faith is cultivated, where we come to understand what God expects. But there is also the aspect of God wanting to have a relationship with each one of us that goes beyond just doing things. Are you following me here? Not just hearing about Him, but seeing Him, gazing at Him with every fiber of our being. Let's go to the New Testament, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Because this is the New Testament word of the Old Testament Hebrew translated in Greek. And I think you know where we're going here with this. Hebrews chapter 12, where we're told something in this verse. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are all compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. By the way, that word seeing is a different Greek word than what I'm going to show you. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's the first aspect of Christian life, all right? Running the race, laying aside the weights that easily beset us, and we're running the race. But what are we doing while we're running, Christian? We're looking unto Jesus, the author, the founder, and the finisher, the completer of our faith. Why do I long for His coming? So I can see the one that I have cultured a relationship with here on this earth. Not so I can see Aunt Susie in heaven. Not so I can be reconnected with all my friends and buddies. No, I want to see my Savior. I'm running the race here. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But while I'm doing that, I'm supposed to be seeing Him, looking at Him. And this is an interesting Greek word. It's a rare Greek word that's used here. It's only used two times in the New Testament. It means an intentional, selective gaze. Now follow me here. An intentional, selective gaze. This was what was missing in Job's life. And we can't criticize him, right? We can't sit back and say, oh, he should have known better than that. We're the same way. We're running the race. Job was running the race. He eschewed evil. He did that which was right. He loved the Lord. He was training his children like he was supposed to. But what aspect was he not aware of? Seeing his Lord in a way that he had never saw him before. And that's this word here in the New Testament. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The word is used in Philippians 2:23, and that particular passage, it's Paul talking here about the circumstances that he would see unfold in his ministry, a constant gaze of what God's going to do here with his ministry. Was it going to be short? Was it going to be long? He was looking to the Lord to undertake. And here in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, it is on the unwavering concentration of the believer upon Jesus Christ. Have you ever concentrated on something? It takes energy. It takes purpose. It takes purpose. We have got to, I remember Coach Campbell in sixth grade, we had a running team that he had put together. We were competing against several Christian schools, and Calvary Christian was on campus, and we were running track out there. And up to that time, the lead-up time, every day, somebody would drop the baton on the handoff. You probably remember that, Bill. I don't know if you did any of that running, but I remember we'd do the handoff. Tim Brooks was the worst. He was in our class. And he was long, lanky, and boy, he could make a big stride. But when his hand would go back, he would knock the baton out every time, the way he struck it up there, and it'd go flipping up into the air, and Coach Dean Campbell would go nuts. He said, Tim, he didn't blame the guy before him. He said, Tim, you've got to concentrate. Even though you can't see him, you've got to feel him behind you and not knock it out of his hand. Don't swoop your arm back and knock it back. Put it back there and let him lay it in your hand. Lay it in your hand. Not you knock it out of his. I remember the night we were running a 440, and we were running, and Tim was going, and you could tell he was concentrating. And we had the smoothest transition, except the last guy that was running the leg started throwing up halfway around the circle. He was up chucking. It was awful. Calvary won. But Coach Campbell didn't care. He went running across the field. I can remember it to this day. He was in full stride running over to Tim Brooks to give him a big old hug. He picked him up and said, "You did it!" Coach Campbell, that was his victory. A smooth transition. Now, Tim could run. He was tall. He was lanky. He had this massive stride. But he just did this awkward thing with his hand. We'd go back and just knock it right out of the person's hand that was trying to extend it to him. And we made the transition. The guy got sick halfway around because we had run, I don't know how many races up to this time. And when you run in August, it's hot and you know what happens. So I didn't mean to disgust you tonight, but I wanted to make concentration. I think this is the number one thing lacking. We don't concentrate on a relationship with our Savior. It's not automatic. The Spirit longs for us. And the Bible says that we can quench the Spirit and we can grieve the Spirit who desires for us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus. The task of the Holy Spirit is to turn our eyes away from ourselves to the person of Jesus Christ. But Satan's work is just the opposite. Satan's work is to divert our attention on what we're doing rather than for the one that we are serving and seeking to have a relationship with that one. So what does he do? He plants all kinds of doubts. He has insinuations such as, "Your sins are too great for pardon. You have so little faith. You do not repent enough. You will never be able to make it. You don't have the joy that he promised that he would give you. In reality, Jesus has failed you. You don't want a relationship with him." When all the while, it's not the Lord Jesus at all. It's our seeking of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, thoughts of our life as Christians centers upon ourselves. That's what Job was doing in all those chapters. He keeps talking about, I was honorable. I was serving the Lord. I was offering sacrifices for my children, lest they had sinned against God. I was doing this. I was doing that. And those four friends were accusing him all the while, "You've got hidden sin." And Job would say, "No, I don't. I don't have hidden sin. I'm honoring the Lord." And the debate was not bringing light to the council. It was doing what? Bringing darkness to it. And Job identifies with his four friends in Job 42, where he said, "Lord," let's go back there real quick. I'm going to read it from this translation here. "I know that you can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, Lord, who is this that hideth counsel, darkeneth counsel without having knowledge? Yes, I spoke without understanding of wonders far beyond me, which I didn't know." Can we just trust God about the things that we don't know? I think about the rapture of the church. I don't know when that's going to be. But I'm just going to trust God and trust His Word and work on that relationship so when He shows up in the clouds and the trump sounds and the dead in Christ arise first, it'll be a reunion of a relationship that started down here with meaning. I think many times our relationships are just a mile wide and an inch deep with Jesus Christ our Lord. We're just going through the motions. And I have to put my hand up. I have to put my hand up. We go through the motions. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're doing what's right. We're doing all these things, but we don't have a firm grip on the relationship that God wants us to have with Him. He loved us in spite of our sin. Nobody on this earth does that. Now, you can say you do. I love them in spite of all their frailties and weaknesses and their warts and all that kind of stuff. But back in the back of our minds, you know, back here, they're an idiot. They're a complete idiot. And then we come out and smile. I love you so much. And in the back, and the other side of the head is saying, you're a complete idiot. That's our humanness. God wants us to move beyond that. Do I hear an amen? He wants us to move beyond that. He wanted Job. Why did God say to Satan, all right, here's my servant Job. Have you considered him? And God describes him to Satan, what a man he was. Godly man. But God is thinking, I want to refine my servant Job. I want him to come to a place where he sees me now in a different light, because now he's more focused on me now than he's ever been. You see the difference in the vision? You know, we look around. When you're driving, you cannot drive with tunnel vision. You got to be looking around you, all right? As my great aunt used to say, there's somebody driving just a few feet away from you, driving at you like they have a loaded gun. And she was a slow driver. It'd take her forever to get out of her yard. We'd watch her back out of her carport. And she would turn it. She always turned it around, backed it up, and then she would go out and she'd sit forever. If a car at the end of Magnolia Street was turning on, she'd wait until they were all the way. And that half a mile away. That's how careful she was. All right? But some people drive like, have you ever waved at somebody going down the road? You waving at somebody? Death grip. 10-2. Got it. Hey, I was waving at you. I didn't see you. Okay. We're 2 feet apart. We were parked at a stop sign together. All right? And you didn't see me waving? You know? What do we got? Tunnel vision. I think many times, we're so distracted all around us that instead of being locked in on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, who is the founder and the completer of our faith, that He's just one among many, and He should be one and only. That in all things, this verse has been on our letterhead from the very beginning, that in all things He should have the what? Preeminence. Not prominence, but preeminence. Like a laser focus, I'm working on my relationship with Jesus Christ. Some people have zero time for that. Zero time for that. When they read their Bibles, they just got to get through the devotional so they can say that they did that, and it's okay. Lord, help me out through this day. Amen. I did it. I went through the motions. I did it. Or you got this passage of Scripture you have to read and get it in, but there's no relationship developed. No relationship developed. No looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Job, godly, Christ-honoring man. He would have been a stalwart in the church today. But God said, I need more, my son. I need more from you. I need for you to develop a relationship with me. And He said, I heard about you. And He had. He had heard about God. But He said, now I what? I see thee as never before. I want to encourage you, Christian. This is the aspect that we most need to focus on. And I'm using that word focus in light of the word looking unto Jesus. We've got to get our eyes off all this down here. All this down here on the earth. It just all the time got our attention. All right? All the time. Doing this, doing that. We got to do that. Yeah. And no relationship to speak of with Jesus Christ. Some people would be disappointed if the trump sounded right now. Oh, wait a minute. We got things to do. We got something to take care of here. That'll be an interruption. It's not for somebody that's got a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes?
I have a poster on my table that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." Look full.
It is. But is it true in our lives?
Because it's the same message that
Yeah. And that was Job. Godly man. Loved God. But there was one aspect that got missed in all those 38 chapters and all the discussions with his friends and all that, talking about possibility of sin and you're harboring something in your life, Job, and Job arguing back with them. "Oh no, I'm not. I'm living rightly. I'm honoring God. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do." But then he admits in Job 42 in verse 2, "You asked, Lord, about who is he that darkeneth counsel? That was me. I spoke without understanding. I heard about you, Lord, but I wasn't looking unto you." That's what God wants from all of us, a relationship that's meaningful. Not just words, not just ideas, but something that's a reality in our hearts and lives. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. Lord, it's so rich. And so many times we focus on all the things we're supposed to do and we don't focus on what we should be. And that is a child of God, a joint heir with Christ. Something that has meaning, a relationship that grows every day and every hour throughout our lives, so that when death comes calling, we're ready to go. We just want to be with Jesus. If the trump were to sound, we just want to be with Jesus. Not all these side issues, not about the mansions, not about the streets of gold, not about seeing all the angels and all the prophets and all that stuff. That'll be time for that. Our focus is going to be on Jesus Christ. And that should be developed and cultured here upon this earth while we live. Lord, teach us your word and may it live in us in a way that it has never done before, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.